You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I am your host. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the news that just came out the other day from PSA, the grading card company. They came out and they tweeted out a little bit later on, or actually I saw it later on, so maybe they tweeted it at normal times. Whatever, doesn't matter when they tweeted it. So now, apparently, you're going to be able to see the prices of cards when they are graded through the website. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should pull up the website to see if this is live right now, because they were showing one of the SP Jeter cards. Let's take a look here. I don't remember. I guess we can go to one of my recent searches. 2020 tops. I guess we can do that. We'll come in here. I don't know how they're going to do this. So ARP, which is the setting. So let's see. So Bo Bichette. Lots found. So it looks like the function is available right now. Actually, wow, this is kind of crazy. Now, I don't exactly know how they're going to be pulling. The information exactly from eBay. It looks like it is a few days behind as well, because I'm looking at the Bichette card from Topps 2020. And the last date they have is from the 28th. So this is very similar to some of the other platforms we've seen. So that's like Card Ladder from House of Jordans. We've seen, which I've used that tool, so I know kind of how it works. I haven't used tools like the Market Movers from Sports Card Investor, and I know Slab Stocks is coming out with a tool in the next few months. I haven't seen any of their interface, but I would imagine it's very similar to this. So, you know, I do wonder, see, what is this going to mean? Because now PSA, and I think what PSA did was they upped their prices, which I think is very fair. When that news first came out, I even said that they should probably be charging more for grading, because, like, if you look at it, like, you can probably buy a Bo Bichette card for, I mean, let's see. Let's just go and let's see if I can find one right now, and we can just check what the price would be. I'm going to go here. We're going to go Bo. I probably didn't spell his name right. I never seem to do this. Yeah, cards. It's B-I-C. Bo Bichette. Here we go. So we're going in. We're going to look at his cards. We're going to look at card number. No, we're going to look at or newest, probably, actually, because that'll probably be able to find the card easier. So you can buy his Topps Series 1 card. I'm looking for it now. I mean, you can buy it for like $7 or $8. Now you spend $20 to get it graded. If you're doing a 20-day service, or you could spend even less, like a 10-day service, and you could do the 45 days. And if the card comes back at 10, it looks like it's selling around $85. So, I mean, PSA has to recognize this. Like, if PSA were to, for a company that's publicly traded like PSA, to sit back and not make more money off of everybody else making money, like, that doesn't make sense for them. Like, that's actually pretty bad business. So if I'm, like, a shareholder or an investor in PSA, like, I'm looking at that, I'm saying, you need to figure out how to get more of this secondary market value, because, and it's similar to what Panini did with some of these blockchain cards and some of the, I guess not really first off the line, sort of, but a lot of like the blockchain cards you can buy, like the National Treasures, Prism, stuff like that. So these companies going forward, like, I don't, you know, and I guess I've been in this kind of for like 2-ish years, so I can't speak to what the hobby was like 4 or 5 years ago, but based off of kind of the reaction whenever something big happens that's money related, it seems like the backlash is very much like this hobby is becoming all about money. It's becoming bad because everybody's just trying to make money, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can, from that perspective, I can see why that may be disappointing. Like, if this is something where, you know, you have been buying base cards, base rookie cards for 20 years, and it's been an affordable, and you haven't had to make, you have just been buying these base cards, and that's the only card that you buy, and you've been buying them for 10, 20 years, and you've been basically buying them for the same price, and now you're seeing that there's going to be an increase. I can see how that could be annoying, but at the same time, it's like, What do you expect? I mean, I don't know. And I guess I see it from both perspectives. But from my perspective, I think I've talked about this where I'm in the hobby content side, and I'm also in the marketing and business side. So these companies that are making more these companies need to make more money. That's basically what it is. And I think based off of where we've gone, I think the PSA adding this tool, I guess you could call it a tool, and I think it's interesting because if you type in like an older card, it's at least from what I've seen, it's going to have like all of the pricing, and it looks like it's mostly using eBay data because, I mean, for some of these base rookie cards, like that's just what you're going to find. So actually, I'm going to go back to it, and I'm going to look up... Because it also, the interesting thing, it has the amount of sales and it has the volume of what the pricing is, which one interesting thing with Bichette is, so I actually pulled some of this data and I put it on Instagram, or not on Instagram, I put it on Twitter. So the strange thing about some of the early data from the, I'm looking up the Giannis card really quickly, Panini, oops, what the heck? The Pop Report, that's what I'm looking to go to. The early data that I pulled from the PSA Pop Reports for some of the Topps 2020 cards is that Bo Bichette has like a 50% gem rate. Gavin Lux has about a 70. Actually, let me pull up the tweet. Here it is. Bo Bichette, 50%. Gavin Lux, 75%. This is gem rate, so amount of cards that are graded versus the amount of cards that came back at PSA 10. Yordan Álvarez, 69%. So, that's an interesting statistic to me because, like, why are these cards just, why is a certain player's gem rate, why is the product's gem rate not the same across the board? And I understand it's not going to be exactly the same, but like it's from a 25% difference between two of the most popular players in the product seems pretty drastic in my opinion. So like that, I don't know what it is. That number just doesn't add up to me. So also 70% of the total cards from Topps 2020, the series one, which I don't think I looked up series two yet, because I don't think anybody would have gotten those graded. How do I find, the ARP, that's what I was looking for, of the Giannis, Green Prism, Giannis Antetokounmpo, lots found, so they have, yeah, it looks like for Giannis, you can go 9, 8, 7, 6, 6.5, and a 4, which the 6.5, it looks like there was one. It looks like a PSA 9 is selling for $1,600. Wow. The base Giannis prisms are up to like $4,000. That's crazy. I didn't even realize that. So yeah, this is a powerful tool, and I think there's a couple things that I think are going to come from this tool. I think it's one resource for collectors or for people who are maybe they're maybe looking at the percentage of value of PSA 10 versus PSA 9. I think this is going to make PSA 9s more valuable because they're gonna start. You're gonna have a tool that you don't have to go to eBay and do a new search and then go to the sold listings. You can just click through 10, 9, 8, and you can see the prices of the most recently sold cards. So it's gonna make it easier for people who want to buy other cards. And now, granted, you still got to go to eBay and buy it and look for the card. But like, if you can find the most recent value, it's going to be so much easier to find. Because like, if you're going to a player like Luka, like there's like 20 to 30 PSA 10s that are selling like on a daily basis. So, you know, being able to then see maybe a PSA 9 or a PSA 8, which, you know, this may even make PSA 8s more valuable because PSA 9s are still, like, a gem, technically. I think that's, like, if you look at the distinction that PSA uses, it's still called a gem. And I think the PSA 10 is a gem mint or whatever. I don't know exactly. But I think it's gonna make it easier for people to look at the overall value of the card and say, well, if... And this is one thing that I do pretty frequently, is I'll look at like a control, so I'll look at like a Luka, or I'll look at like a Giannis, or I'll look at a LeBron, and I'll say, here's what the pricing of these cards are across the board, whether it's a raw card, or whether it's a, like if it's a LeBron, if it's a Topps Chrome, versus if it's a Fleer, and then I'll go to another player and I'll say, well, if LeBron's Fleer is 50% of the value of his Topps Chrome, then KD's Fleer, hypothetically, should be 50% of his Topps Chrome, and I'm making these numbers up. So if it's at 25, if it's at a 30%, I look at that card and I say, well, that card's undervalued because it should be, I don't know, $100 or $200 more already if there hasn't been any type of increase, which is something that I have done more in the past, a little bit less recently. But now you're going to be able to go and say, instead of maybe going players across players, well, you would probably go across players, but instead of going different products, you can go within this same product. So you can look at a Topps Chrome LeBron, and if a 10 is worth this, a 9 is worth this, an 8 is worth this, you can go to a different player and say, well, or I mean, KD, for an example, you can go to KD and say, well, if the PSA 9, and I'm making these numbers up, if the PSA 9 is 35% of the PSA 10, and then the PSA 8 is 12% of the PSA 10. If KD's PSA 9 rookie is like 20%, in theory, it should be worth more already, even without any type of increase. So I think that's one thing that's going to happen from this. I also think that potentially now that PSA has established that they are aware of what these cards are selling for on the secondary market, I think that means they're going to grade these cards a little bit harder. I think because using their service gets you can almost 5 to 10x cards, depending on when you bought them and if you're getting them graded and then you sell them for PSA 10. So they're establishing the narrative that they know that exists. Like, and granted, they probably knew it exists before, but now they're actually putting energy, and they've hired somebody for the company that's going to either be updating these pages or is going to be in charge of managing these pages. So now they're paying someone, or I'm just saying hypothetically they probably paid someone to manage this stuff and manage this information and get the correct data in there. And they're saying that we know that if you pay us $20, and you paid 20, hypothetically, a lot of these numbers I'm making up off the top of my head, but if you paid $20 for a raw card, like I don't know a player who would be $20 raw right now off the top of my head, but, and then you pay $20 to get it graded, that $20 card then becomes like a $250 card because you paid us $20 to give it a grade, which if it comes back at 10, obviously that's where you're going to get the most value. Maybe PSA 9s, maybe not, but I don't know. I just think it's honestly a lot bigger a deal for people who are getting cards graded pretty frequently. I think we're going to start seeing the grading become a little bit harder. I also have seen, I think it was Joe Orlando, I think is who is the president of PSA. I think he tweeted out a picture a couple weeks ago of them opening up like a new office space where they are going to have people grading. So I'm looking at that specifically and saying they know what they're doing. They know that, or maybe they don't know, maybe they don't know what they're doing and they're getting heat from the investors or the people who have a significant, because it's a, like I said, so Collectors Universe is the publicly traded company that PSA falls under. So the people either at Collectors Universe or the higher up investors or these people are pushing for PSA to start making more money because they're looking at, what the grade, the graded card industry. And they're saying, we're just giving, like, it's like they're just giving away money. Like, that's basically what PSA does. If you, in a, if you were to broadly stroke the what the company does, they, sure, you pay $20, you pay $40, you pay $100 to get the card graded. But then once it gets graded, it's instantly worth more money. And they don't, they're not seeing any of the money. And it's like I said, it's the same, it's the same kind of concept that we've seen with blockchain, which was National Treasures and Prism. Like Panini sees what these company or what the cards are selling for on the secondary market. So like, you know, even if you buy one of these blockchain cards and it sells for double on the secondary market, like they're still making some of that money from the card being sold rather than if they pack the card and they put it in a product. Like, I'd be interested to see the percentage, I guess, of like the revenue or the profit from, like, if they make one of these cards, because, you know, they're obviously using one of the autographs for the Prism and the blockchain, but like, I'd be interested to see where, how much, like, the percentage of profit when they're selling a blockchain card versus the percentage of profit when they are producing one of these RPAs or they're producing one of these, like, low-numbered parallels that they're putting in Prism, you know. So I just think that going forward, we're going to see some changes, I think. And maybe in a good way to some people, maybe in a bad way to some people, but I think we're going to see, we've already seen it where business models are being disrupted within the card community. And I think we're going to continue to see the company be, and I think it's mainly like, this isn't like a food company or like a movie production studio. Like, the product that these companies are producing are then worth X amount on the secondary market. And I just think that as we see more people come in, there's going to have to be changes where the company is going to have to look at it and say, we need to make more money off of this stuff because of how much money is being made on the secondary market. And I don't know if it's then going to be harder to make money on the secondary market, but I just think that the companies are going to want it. They're going to want some of that. They're going to want a piece. It's kind of like the government. Like, if you get your paycheck, you're probably getting 30 to 40% taken out depending on whatever tax bracket. I'm not going to get into that. But the government wants some of that money. And that's, I think that's what I think is going to happen with Panini and maybe Topps and with like PSA and Beckett. Like, I think Beckett also just increased their prices just because I don't know if they're publicly traded like PSA, but I would imagine it's very similar where people who have a high stake in the company are looking at, they're looking at the $1.8 million LeBron card and they're saying, this card just sold for $1.8 million and it's in our slab. We need to make more money because, like, even though the card is in the news and it's with us, not PSA, it just doesn't, as a, from a company's perspective, that's not a good thing. Or, well, it is from a global perspective, I suppose, but like from a, from a company perspective, we're trying to make money. That's not a good thing because they're not getting any of that $2.8 million. Now, you know, I'm not naive to say that the card being in the news doesn't then give publicity and marketing dollars that they don't have to really spend back to the company. Like, I definitely think that goes on. But at the same time, it's like, it's one, how much of that, like, how much really is that going to, do? Like, you never, like, I don't know. And I don't think it's really, it's not really a number that you could even kind of quantify. Like, so, you know, that's what I think is going on with PSA, and I think what we're going to see probably going forward with a lot of these companies, with a lot of the grading card companies, with a lot of the card companies, they're going to make things harder for people to make more money so that way they can make more money. And it's just, it seems like it's common sense, but for the hobby, which hasn't really been disrupted too much in the past maybe 10, 15 years, it's been kind of this niche thing. It's not going to be niche anymore, and these companies are going to want to make more of the money. And you're going to have people come into the companies, and they're going to say, we need to make more money. We need to see money on these $1.8 million cards that are selling on the secondary market. We need to figure out how to take a percentage of that. And that's all I've got for today's episode. So I want to thank you all for listening. Go follow me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We just put up a new YouTube video. One of my most popular podcasts is How to Get Started, 2 Tips on Sports Cards. So that video is up now. I hope you enjoyed listening. Thank you all. And if you want to leave a review on iTunes, that would be phenomenal. Thank you. I will see you in the next episode.